Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. For you who are trying to check into the chat room, if you'll just hold on, it's taken me a little bit to get reconnected to the internet. I was on and set, and then it dropped me. So I'm multitasking here, trying to sign on and welcome you to the show. Today is, what is today? Today is Wednesday, January 14th, 2015. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. And I'll welcome Michael in a minute, but he's asked me to talk for a few minutes as he's in the middle of doing something. So hold on 1 second. I'm trying to get the chat room up. Multitasking doesn't always work. So the purpose of our show is to offer support and to in the tools of forgiveness, and it's Aramaic forgiveness, which is how do I go inside and remove my anger, my hostility, my fear, my grief, my pain. And here. Okay. Sorry about that. He just came and took my phone because I wasn't on yet. Anyway, it's how do you go inside and you remove those things to get back to being who you're designed to be. And so that's what this show's about. We have a worksheet. Our website's www.whyagain.org. And you go there, click on the bullseye. It will take you to where there are all of our worksheets. There's chapter 24 of Michael's book, which is where he walks the character Richard through doing a worksheet. And there's also MP3s of 14 different radio shows where we have walked someone through step-by-step doing a worksheet. And so you can go to those, listen if you're not familiar with the worksheets or you just need a refresher. And you can listen to those and get caught up. And then we're here Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 Eastern Time to offer support to anyone and everyone in any way that we can. And while I'm waiting for him to get on, I got an email from a lady this morning, and this was pretty awesome. You know, a lot of times when people are doing the worksheet, there's a statement in it that says, you identify the incident, what you were feeling, the thought behind your feeling, and what your punishment thought is. And a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't punish anybody. You know, I don't do punishment. And where that comes from usually is because, you know, we're raised that you don't do certain behaviors. We have these inhibitors in place that keep us from doing certain things or acting a certain way. And so we're not allowed to think punishment thoughts. And so people are just kind of in that conditioning that they don't do that, and which if they're honest, they do. However, one of the worst punishments is isolation or to leave someone, to withdraw, to remove yourself from them. You know, think about the prisons when they put somebody in the worst punishment, put them in an isolation tank or put them where they have no contact with anybody else. And a lot of times people don't think of that as being punishment. But when you avoid someone or you withdraw yourself from someone, it's punishment to you and them too. Well, this email that I got from this friend of ours, she said that she has an older cat, and she, you know, got some animals in her house, and she had a lot of company. So she put the cat in the garage with, you know, food and bedding and all of that, I guess just to get her out of the house while there was company going on. However, it was too cold, of course, just to put her outside. And so she put the cat out there, and it was a couple of days, you know, that the cat was just kind of left to herself. And said then she got, the cat got really sick yesterday, and got so sick that, or a couple of days ago, and got so sick that she had actually called someone to come and dig a grave, because she just knew that by the end of the day she was going to have to bury the cat. And so the company left, and she brought the cat back in the house and started talking to it and loving on it and rubbing it and just getting it warm and, you know, just giving it tender, loving care. And she said, this morning the cat is just like totally back to normal, eating again. It's like it's been reborn. And so she concluded her email and said, I guess cats are human too. One of the reasons there's so much sickness going on is that we've forgotten how to love each other. That was just phenomenal. And so thank you for sharing that with us. And so, Dr. Tim, I see you are on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Were you able to get the chat room up?
Yes, finally. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm assuming that you jumped in there. And,
I logged on, but I didn't want to open the chat because then it would kick you out of it if you were able to get it going.
Right.
I'm doing delightfully, joyfully well. We had another fabulous Mindshifter support group last night, and we watched the first half or the first 40 minutes of the new version of Healing Through Relationships. And then we did the worksheet, the three earliest memories of conflict, and that stirred up quite a bit for people, so we discussed that. And then with about a half an hour to go, I offered the option to do a worksheet, a reality management worksheet, to dismantle anything that's less than love in the system, as you were talking about earlier. And one of our members said, well, I have so much up for me right now from this exercise of the three earliest memories of conflict that I'd like to do some of that tapping I've seen you do with somebody else before. So we sat around, 12 people sitting around the table, breathing and tapping and canceling goals and focusing on body sensations and canceling the goal for them to get better and releasing the energy. And we did that for quite a while and wrapped up the group all laughing by the end of it and feeling big shifts in energy and new awareness and... So it was delightful. It's a wonderful process, and it's an honor to be able to engage in that with those loving people on a regular basis, and I look forward to another group tomorrow.
Well, I think that's just awesome that you're doing two support groups, and I hats off to you. That's phenomenal. Thank you for being that committed to the work.
Well, It's kind of like you're just saying that being that committed to the work brings to mind a quote from Guy Finley. In one of his lectures, he says, you know, there is a power in this universe that gave rise to you, and it's a power in this universe that makes this promise to you. It says, if you will just let me teach you about life and yourself, I will never let you down. I will always reveal to you more of life, of love, and of your connection to your source if you will just make the commitment to let me teach you. And that reminds me of that insight Michael had when he was here in the fall about the 500 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle and us getting the idea from our 5,000 pieces that are available to us, that we know what the big picture is and we know what's going on. And the insight Michael had was, if we just recognize that whatever it is we're seeing and feeling in the moment, especially in a moment when we're feeling anger or fear or sadness, however much we think we're seeing, it's just a tiny bit of the whole picture. And if we recognize that and we just ask that bigger picture to teach us, it will teach us about itself. So I commit to this because it just keeps giving to me a better, more loving, more higher quality of life the more I do this work.
Yeah, I think the best way to learn it is to teach it, for sure.
Well, it's certainly proven to be that for me.
Well, for me too. Okay, so our call-in number is 646-200-4169. There's a whole bunch of people on the switchboard. If somebody presses 1, you're first in line without waiting. Michael, have you joined us yet? I guess not. Okay.
Well,
so
a little bit earlier,
our workshop,
somebody had a hand up on 901. Did they drop off?
I thought I saw somebody with their hand up too, and then it disappeared. So if you're still out there, press 1, and it'll put you back up there. We are still here in Tampa, Florida. We're actually staying in Treasure Island and driving over to Tampa, which has been a little bit of a challenge. It takes us about an hour to get over there. And but it's nice to be here right on the beach. If the weather would cooperate a little bit, I went out this morning, come back in, and I was so cold, it's crazy. we're having some awesome workshops. Last night we had 49 people at the Introduction and Advanced Understanding of the Course in Miracles. And I actually got some additional pieces to that jigsaw puzzle, too. And tonight we're doing Circle of Life and How to Play It, which if anybody's ever been to that one, it's like a full board of information. And then tomorrow night we're doing Laws of Living. And also tomorrow night, Susan Darnell is starting her Laws of Living class. I was working with her this morning, getting her people set up to take the personal code evaluation. And so, Susan, if you're on, you might want to give us some updates and information about what's going on. I know you're also working, so perhaps you can't talk, but you can listen. We're glad for what all you're doing as well there in Wilmington, North Carolina. And then tomorrow night, or then Friday night, we're doing Getting the Stress You Need. As of right now, we don't have enough people to do the breath workshop on Saturday. However, we're scheduled to do it next Saturday in St. Petersburg, and they're close enough, so the few people that did show an interest in doing the breath work this week, we'll probably just have them join us in St. Petersburg next week and have one big group instead of two small groups. So that's our plan right now.
Can you hear me, Jeannie?
Yeah, you're on there now. Hi.
Oh, good. Good. All right. Well, okay. I wanted to throw a thought into the mix before we got too far away from Jim sharing. And that the added piece of technology of the forgiveness process becomes such a key. And, you know, people who go from, you know, doing an exercise like it's your memories where they touch into thoughts that are unresolved and often painful to them. One of the things that many people will often do is say, well, you know, I just don't let myself think about that. I just distract myself and I go on with something else and I feel better. And that can be an effective technique to feel better. Of course, it only works for so long. You can only shove the other stuff down for so long before there's enough potential in it that it's going to take over. But rather than just affirming a change of mind or affirming that something's true that I've got conflicting information about hidden from myself, the beauty of the first century forgiveness process added to that is when I go in, as Tim said, and start canceling goals, I uncover directly the part of my mind that holds those thoughts. And when I do that in the presence of love, those thoughts dissolve. So it's not just a practice of distracting oneself or a positive thinking. And in my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, I talk about the disease of premature positive thinking. And that when people try to positive think on top of a negative foundation, they can only go so far and the structure falls apart. Because if the foundation isn't set, you know, if you think about a building, if the foundation isn't deep enough to handle a 10-story building, if you put one story on, it's okay. You put two, you put three, but you start getting much more than that, and the building topples over. So the forgiveness process is what allows us to go in and shore up the deeper hidden parts of our lives. And unfortunately, we oftentimes see someone who's got a challenge, they've got a problem going on in their lives, and they come to the work, and, oh, I'm so committed, and I'm going to do this. And they get that issue out of the way, and they're gone again. They disappear. You don't hear from them until the next time another layer of that is up. And the benefit of people continuing on a consistent, persistent basis to do their work means that they don't ever have to fall into that pit again, that we can keep moving in the direction of moving through things. And, of course, I certainly understand, Jim, why you're doing two support groups. I went from the business world to doing this full-time because I realized that the best way to be a full-time student of it was to be a full-time teacher of it. And fortunately, I get to keep reminding myself of the next layer of work that I need to do. And so it's a pretty exciting process for sure. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
We do have a hand up. We actually have two hands up. Area code 901, you're on the air.
Good morning. This is Brenda in Memphis.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you. We have sunshine, finally.
Nice. I bet that's cool.
It is. It's great. We kind of have forgotten what it looked like. Anyway, I downloaded I listened to the Ghost in Your DNA.
Ghost in Your Genes, yes.
In Your Genes, that's what it was. Very fascinating. I've listened to it a couple times. And the question I have is when they were talking about the pieces in the chromosomes that were missing, due to the worksheets, the mind shifters, and I was also... I slept very well last night listening to the relaxation to wellness.
Wellness to Stillness CD?
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a cool piece, isn't it?
It is. It's awesome. It is very awesome. And the greatest thing about it is because it works that you want to introduce the information to but do not seem to be quite receptive to it. I was encouraged to hear that there's a process by which their own work can affect them. So my question is that when they were talking about the chromosomal issues, do the worksheets or can we reverse that through the process of the worksheets, the mind shifters, and et cetera?
Well, I can't say that we've gone into the laboratory and can point to it, you know, our finger to it and say, there it is where it was not. But my take would be that when we turn to what is literally God's mind, and we have, because of our denial, dissociation, rage, guilt, and fear, muted or shut out something that belongs in the DNA, and that can be something that's been going on for generations, and people call it an inherited genetic disorder, my take would be that when we reconnect to the total, true, active presence of love, that everything that's designed to be there will be reactivated. But yeah. I couldn't point to it in the laboratory. I can point to it in watching people who suffer from a variety of maladies and watching how, as they do their work, those things handle themselves. They take care of themselves. And so that would be my input on it.
It would be really interesting to do a research project following those people if you had the ability to have checked the chromosome structure prior to and then after. Maybe someday someone will do that research.
it would be awesome to have the kind of funding that it would take to really take all of this into the laboratory and document it all. That would be awesome.
All right. Well, that was my question for today.
All right. Well,
thank
much appreciation.
Very-
I hope your day is blessed.
I am sure it's going to be. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye. And the video that Brenda was talking about is that if you go to whyagain.org, Jeannie has put a link to a free watch and a video called The Ghost in Your Genes. And this is where genetic researchers are starting to understand how the energetic, they don't use the word, I don't think they've gotten to the point of understanding that these are energetic patterns, and we're talking about mind energy. You know, if you go to the opening words in the book of John 2,000 years ago, they said, not in the beginning was the word and the word became flesh, but in the beginning was the mind energy and the mind energy became flesh. And when you recognize that our whole energetic system is a reflection of the mind energy that we hold, then when we impose energetic processes or energetic patterns that do not belong in the system, we can shut down and distort things. And when we allow those overlays to be removed, then the natural underlying, the beatitude that is classically interpreted as, blessed are they mourning their wrongs, for they will be comforted. If we go to the Aramaic on that, what it says is a latent neural structure, and this would probably, I think, tie right into the question about the chromosomes. This latent neural structure implanted by God to guide us in happiness and well-being. So all of us have had this naturally implanted in us. And it's become latent for most. And this, of course, is a teaching that goes back 2,000 years. So 2,000 years ago, it was latent or hidden or unconscious, muted out, so to speak. And what it says is that that will become your conscious possession. That will be reactivated and become available to you again when you do your work. And the instruction set laid out in the Beatitudes tells you what the work is that needs to be done. That second Beatitude that's classically interpreted as blessed are those mourning the wrongs, they will be comforted, more correctly says those who look in this neural structure is going to be activated again. That chromosome, whatever it is that's been deactivated, is going to be activated again. Those who love truth, who look into their errors in thought and the errors of their society, for they will be cured of mental stress. So go back to the Aramaic Beatitudes, and it's speaking about reactivating things that we've shut down. So I would say that would be right on track. And Jeannie tells me that we've got three hands up in the caller queue, so let's say hello to a caller.
All right. First one is area code 813. You're on the air.
My name is Shirley, and I'm from Tampa, Florida. I've just done
Hi, Shirley.
Three.
Welcome.
Hi. I'm having a lot of emotions here, and I don't know why, because I don't want to. And when I get that way, I can't talk, so please bear
with
me.
Well, we'll just join you in slowing down a little bit and just taking a deep breath, Shirley.
Okay.
And know that you're among friends, and we hold the space of love for you. And it's perfectly okay to let whatever moves in you move in you. We're here to hold the space for that.
Okay, I just want to be able to speak. When I get upset, sometimes I can't. But anyway, a lot of stuff's coming up, which is good. And I'm noticing a lot of my perceptions. You know, I understand the head, the part you were talking about, that we're seeing things incorrectly. But I tend
right.
to take things very personally when it comes to
right.
the heart.
Yes.
And so when it doesn't go my way, which is a goal, you know, I tend
right.
to leave a lot. So that's kind of been my pattern. And I understand, I understand the way of being. It's kind of like, how do you move on, you know? And I know you said all these forgiveness things, but maybe I should take more courses. I don't know. But I think the main thing that I really was calling you about is a relationship with a friend that is very negative. And, of course, this is not just this friend. It probably started from my parents and all. But they're very negative, and I don't like them. That's the goal, you know, to be negative, but I want to care for them. So, you know, it's like, do you hang around them or do you not hang around them? I can love her from afar, but when you're getting around people that are really just going on, and, you know, it's not where I am in my growth, is what I'm trying to say. So how do you still love presence and be around somebody like that? Or is it that you just move on?
Well, my take would be that, first of all, you'll notice that you're the one who has the problem, not her.
Yes.
You're the one
that.
Who's losing the capacity for love. So I would tap into the worksheet process, and I'd start to look at worksheets on myself. And I think I heard you say that you wanted to love her. So you'd look at that as a goal and cancel your need to love her and look at what's in the file in your mind on loving people who aren't fulfilling all of your goals. So that would be one approach. Another one would be to do a worksheet with her as number one, C, as the object of attention. And what's the goal you have for her? And so that'd be a couple of approaches to get started on the forgiveness process, to move out of your structure the things that she resonates in you that take you out of love. And as you do that, what you're going to find is she's giving you an awesome gift, because she's showing you parts of your mind that otherwise you keep hidden from yourself. And, you know, what we have hidden is what tends ultimately to become an interference or even destructive within our lives. So that would be the first order of business. And, of course, everybody has the right to say, you know, you choose to live a certain way, I choose to live differently, I think it's time for me to move on. Everybody has the right to do that. I just caution that if you take that approach, that you make sure that you continue to do the work that you have around what you're experiencing, so that you don't have to go out and create it with somebody else. So that would be my input. And it sounds like there's some powerful emotional work to be done. And the fact that you brought your parents into the conversation, then I would extend and do some worksheets around perhaps one or the other or both of your parents' negativity and see what comes up for you.
And I know that's where I should be, maybe with the mind shifters. And this morning, I have to say, I had to let go of that goal because I really want to do it. And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but I just have to let it go. So this whole process is letting go.
Yeah.
And forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm finding out.
When you say you wanted to do the mind shifters, I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, you're telling me now there's not enough in the group. So I'm making that, you know, upsetting to me because I wanted to do it, and I don't know whether I can do it next week. So I said, no, God, you just let it go. It's what it is, you know.
And so we're not complete on that. When Jeannie was talking about that, she's talking about where things are at right now. That's certainly wide open to change. You know,
well, I am
going to
be one that's
going to
be out there networking for you.
All right. All right.
Happen.
Good. Well, I think perhaps with the group we had last night, there was a lot of energy there that we may get some more folks who jump in. So
good.
I'm still holding the space for it to happen.
Good. I am too. Thank you
for
listening.
Okay, Shirley. Thank you for your call. Blessings. Bye-bye. Jeannie?
The next caller is area code 765. You're on the air.
Howdy.
Hi.
Well, hey there, young lady. We haven't heard your voice in a while. I was wondering about you yesterday.
I've been kind of playing hooky, and I have missed you both, all of you, everyone, the show very much. It's been a busy time. So from the intro and the opening, you can get away from it, and you start to – I do. I got away from it, and I started feeling the difference in my life without you and without the show on a daily basis, speaking for myself. And from the first caller, in reference to the the ability to test the DNA, I am very blessed, and I just wanted to kind of report to you that with Dr. Carey's work that I do, my professor has noted when I have been attentive to doing my worksheet, it shows in my numbers. I didn't know if you were aware of that potential, Michael. That the it does show.
Oh yeah, it's got to.
Yeah, it does. It's awesome. Yeah. And I did have a death in my family, and I was able to go home and reflect upon several members of my DNA, which I'm still kind of processing. And without a real question in the moment, I didn't get to wish you, any of you, a happy holidays or a happy new year. In going into my new year, I'm at a kind of a low vitality from the trip to Michigan yet, Michael, so if you'll bear with me. But to process this experience, I don't know where I want to start with my personal work. And maybe you could guide me. I still shed tears. And it is a much deeper thing than I thought it might be. And it seems to be occurring for several other family members without much story. This was my mother's sister, closest thing I've ever had genetically to my own mother since I was 18 months old. But she's lingered for years in a nursing home, dementia. And while I thought that I had pretty much embraced the circumstance of the lack of her presence in the world and was coping, obviously I have not. But I haven't quite put my finger on, with a low vitality. Like I say, I haven't pushed my physical self too hard. Because I go.
So it sounds like you're in the midst of processing a lot of grief and loss, and perhaps some of that which you'll be touching into as you do that, since there's such a close link with your mother, that, you know, people think, oh, well, the 18-month-old child does not understand that someone's passed. And the truth is, the 18-month-old understands, may not cognitively recall, but understands a whole lot more than everybody thinks.
Oh, yes.
And so it wouldn't shock me to recognize that perhaps you are literally processing, and that's why there's a lack of words. You know, you're not usually shy on words, but that it's hard to put it into words because the 18-month-old didn't have the words to put it into. So I would suspect very possibly that you're back processing that level of grief and loss. And, you know, the thing to do at this stage is just to take care of yourself, nurture yourself, breathe, and stay in the practice of presencing love for yourself as you let those things move. If specific issues come to mind, great, hop on a worksheet, you know, get into the forgiveness process. But otherwise, at this stage, I would suggest you just kind of take care of yourself and let yourself rebuild and nurture yourself and make sure to keep your breath moving.
Thank you. And that is pretty much where I'm at with it, because part of my tendency is to go all hog, you know, just all full on and maybe being over philosophical about the whole thing too, but this one is big, Michael, and I appreciate your love and support through this, because I was really able to reflect with my, you know, my members of my family and the, like, three generations standing in front of me and realizing the geographical space and finding myself in their eyes and my, you know, in their faces, and realizing, you know, the growth, and there's some really deep pain in my generation, and I'm so blessed to have you in my life, and really, as I said, to heal those things for my generation and my daughter. It was very reflective for her as well. And so I look forward to getting back on track with the new year with all of you, and digging deeper into this. That was a really heavy experience, and I'm excited about it. It's deep stuff.
Yep.
So,
I understand.
Praise be, you guys are there. God bless all of you. Thank you.
All right, we hold the space.
Thank you.
All right, the whole blessing. That can be difficult stuff to deal with, for sure. And, you know, one of the things the mind will often try to do is figure it out. It's not about figuring it out. It's allowing yourself to be in the energetic process of healing. So, Jeannie, you've got another caller for us?
Two more callers.
Awesome.
The next one is there. Area code 413. You're on the air.
Area code 413. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? Hello. We can hear you in the background, but we don't quite have you yet. Are you there? Okay. Sounds like maybe they've left the phone. Or maybe it was somebody's butt dial. I don't know.
Well, the next one, I think, is Rex, 517. You're on the air.
Well, let's say hello to Rex. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Awesome. Awesome.
You sound great.
I apologize. We don't have more enlightenment books to send you, but they just sold out, like, well, actually all three books. Julie's book. We've got one copy of Recipes left. We've got one copy of Healing Children, Loving Children, and we're totally out of Enlightenment. So we're going to get those back and reprinted as soon as we possibly can. Probably it'll take us another 2 weeks or so to get them back in hand.
Awesome. Well, I actually had a thought for Sunny, and I think it might be helpful for all of us. It's been a nice reminder. Well, I don't know if nice is the word. It's been a healthy reminder for me about levels and depth of grief and loss. I just plugging along and doing my work, and there's been a lot happening. I've had a lot of challenges, which have been just, you know, I'm growing and learning and healing. And I decided to pull the book back out, and the book being the book that Mitzi had written with Brea, and they're at their first major edit, so it's going to change a lot. But I got the original copy along with the editor, and I've been reading it sporadically. Well, I got into some of it, and the book is about Journey's life, as you know, but for those that are listening that may not. And it's about Journey's life and death and his process of going through his experiences and what it was like for Brea and Mitzi as well, and Journey, because we have many of his journals. So at any rate, I'm reading it again. So I'm sitting at the table, and I just sit down, and I think I'll read a little bit of, you know, the book again. I'm totally calm. I feel just peaceful and just fine. And I read the first paragraph, and all of a sudden, just, I mean, it was just that quick, just big elephant tears, you know, sobbing. And I'm going, really? There's a part of me that's going, what? And what really resonated is when Sunny was sharing, and what I would offer Sunny is that there will be levels of sadness and loss and pain that resonate so deeply in you that this event will trigger that you can move through. So be patient with yourself and your letting go of what you think you should be or how you should respond. And be present and stay diligent with your work, because that's what I've been doing. And I was just really quite surprised by how much. And so I breathed through it. I blew my nose. I canceled some goals and I did some forgiveness, and then I went back and read another paragraph and it happened again. I'm motivated to share with everyone that, I mean, Michael and I have had some private conversations, but for those of us who are really doing the work, and I mean that we're really committed to the process of healing, and, you know, our love of truth is increasing, as mine is and yours is, and as that happens, we're accessing much deeper levels of our loss and our personal experience of loss, but also a collective experience of loss. And it's just
the genetic experience.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. All the way back. And that's what I mean by collective, not just what's conscious now or unconscious now, but what's been accumulated over all this millennia. And I wanted to share that in that it is, I was actually surprised to see how much was still there. And when I asked Ruka, I said, Ruka, what is going on here? I've done a lot of work around this. And the response I got is, yep, and there's still more. it was real succinct and to the point. It was like, well, fine. And I also got that, again, remember that, you know, Rex, you're accessing, I usually have that conversation with me in the first person. It's my own name, and it's me talking, and it's Ruka, and it's all just a big mix. But it was clear to me that it was offered that just keep in mind that at the time that you were experiencing the pain that, you know, that I was experiencing, I was also experiencing being as conscious in it as I was capable of being at the time. And now I'm evidently more capable or more open and willing and vitality there and whatever to allow deeper layers to come up. And it's what I meant by it wasn't nice or fun, but it's more enlightening, you know, to just realize that there's more to do. And Sonny, I was just to support you and affirm you that, you know, when we have a loss, we may seem to come to peace with that loss, and we may very well have done that. And then there may be layers that come up, and not to get into be aware of the tendency to go into an analytical piece and the intellectual part. Just realize that it's another layer of healing that's coming up to surface and heal, and encourage all of us. And it doesn't necessarily have to just be around loss. It can be around just about anything.
Awesome. Good input, Rex. Good input. And, you know, you're such a light in that community. You know, when I was there for the celebration for Journey, and what you and your family did for that whole community was just monumental. Monumental.
Thank you. And it's a blessing to have awareness that I have something to offer of light to the world. And, you know, quite often I have found in my own experience that in the past, and I'm talking further back, that I wasn't aware that I was a light because I was shrouded in so much insecurity and so much self-doubt, and I was asleep, you know, like it's talked about in your work, that, you know, you talk about how we went to sleep in Adam or Adamos or the red clay, and I was asleep, and I'm continuing to wake up more, and as I do, I find that, you know, it isn't that the challenges become any easier, Michael. It's just that they're easier to move through, you know, and sometimes they linger. I know you talked about when you had your foot experience that you worked on, and you were working on that for months, and, your cheeks and the oozing out. That was actually for a couple of years, I think, you went through that.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just to support everyone, including myself, and bolstering ourselves and knowing that some of these deeper patterns are deeply ingrained in the structures of our content and in our genetic structure, that it can take more time. It doesn't have to, but it can take more time, and to be patient and stay diligent and keep doing the work.
You're on it.
Well, that's what I had today, and I am on my way to an appointment, so I'll still continue to listen in, but if we have any other callers, it'd be great. Maybe that other caller called back in, and just know that I feel blessed and loved and embraced in everyone's love, and I also extend that to all of you, and just a wonderful community to be a part of.
All right. Appreciate you, Rex. So 646-200-4169 is our calling number. If you have a question or thought for us, call us. Hit one. That puts your hand up in the phone queue. Jeannie knows you want to talk. Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up?
Well, I think Sunny's got her hand back up. I'm not sure, so I'll turn her on here in just a second. But Michelle's in the chat room, and she said, and I agreed with her before she even said it, that Sunny, your voice sounded so different. Nobody said your name and said, you know, hey, this is Sunny or whatever, but we knew it was you. But Michelle says to tell you hi, and that you're a true resonance. My screen jumped on me just as I tried to read it. As demonstrated in the vibration of your voice, that your progress is completely evident. And so, way to go. And then Michelle also said, Rex, if you're still on there, to tell about the support group last night. And she said, you know, that Michael's acknowledging you for being the beacon in the community, and that she tried to tell you that, that you're, that he is the authority in the room. So you might want to share about your support group last night.
Well, I am willing to do that. I appreciate it, Michelle, bringing it up. When I was working with the piece about the grieving and the loss, I felt pretty solid. I had a good day. I did some good inner work. I listened to the program or most of it, and it was a very progressive day for me. And I was ready to go. I was going to the support group, you know. And a part of me, you know, sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do, but I feel committed and I do it anyway. Because the day runs long, I start pretty early, and sometimes by 7 or 8 o'clock, as all of us know, that it can start getting a little tired outside, you know. Oh, and even tired inside. So I was feeling that a little bit, but I had committed to do it, and I knew it was my turn, and Tony shares with us, and I've been going every week for the most part. And then I sat down and was reading the book, and I just had all this emotion come up. So when I got to the support group, I'd done a fair amount of forgiveness, and I just kind of started the group with, hey, let's, whatever we want to do, we chatted a little bit. It was kind of social. It was interactive. And I was just physically, mentally, and emotionally fatigued. And I acknowledged that at the beginning of the group, and I said, you know, I shared a little bit about having just processed this grief, you know, and the sadness, and I'm feeling a little tired, And I'm open to supporting whatever we do. And if you guys would like to watch a video, let's watch a video. And I was feeling pretty open. But inside I was feeling like, oh, I don't know that I want to watch another video right now. It's like, oh, I just feel like, okay, I'm ready to just let this unfold. And okay, let's do it, whatever. Well, and then Michelle said, let's watch a video. And then Doug said, let's watch a video. And so We were going to watch a video, so we pulled the videos out. And the end result was we didn't end up watching the video. And right towards the end, Michelle brought some things out in her own experience, and Doug brought some things out. And then it was when we were walking, literally locking the church and walking out the door. And I mean, it started in the room, and then we were past time, and we were all getting ready to go anyway. So we're walking towards as we're processing for the next 20 minutes to the door. And then we leave. And so my experience of that was that, you know, I trust Doug. We haven't talked to Doug yet, but I trust he got what he was looking for that day, and he got some feedback, and he gave some good feedback. But Michelle got in touch with, you know, and I let her share whatever she has for her. But she got in touch with something that was very helpful for her, be strong in what she wants to see happen for a moment in time. And then I think the authority piece of mentioning, Michael, that I'm a light in the community, I think that's what resonated in Michelle's experience, because I called her afterwards, after I was in my car and driving away, and I said, we talked for about a half hour more, and just to make sure that she was supported, and, you know, I wanted to convey again to my feelings that I was working on, and the things that I was, that I was in resistance to confronting is essentially what was happening. And she said, well, you know, in the moment when I offered, she said, I would like to just supported you and you diving into your process because you give so much support. And for her reasons, she didn't at that moment in a way that I think she might have wanted to. And from my perspective, I was really willing and open, and I would have loved to have that as well, but it didn't happen, and that, I think, reflects, again, some of my own resistance, which I was willing to experience, and I still am. So I think that's what Michelle is referring to, is that she said to me, she said, what you sometimes forget is that, you know, you do this work regularly, and you support others doing the work, and you're good at it, and, you know, sometimes that's just how it unfolds in a group, and others may not feel like they're capable or able to just do what you do for other people or something to that degree. I think I'm changing it a bit, but it was the way I understood it. What I invited Michelle to do, and I said to her, and I'll say this to all of us, is that, you know, the best support that anybody can be is just to be there, you know, in love and hold the space. To hold the space of love when something surfaces. And if someone we're with, whether it be Michael or Jeannie or Rex or Tim or any of us that happen to have a moment in time when we're not feeling like we're in the space to hold the space for someone else and we're looking for that, you're perfectly capable of doing that. It isn't so much what you say or how you act. It's what you or I do in the moment by holding the space of love, and that can create the space for healing that can be profound. So it isn't necessarily as important to, you know, process Rex the way he processes someone else. And I just encourage Michelle. I says, Michelle, you're awesome. I mean, you're brilliant. I would have loved to have you support me. I was really open to it. It didn't happen that way, but I think that's what Michelle's referring to.
It is, and she said you've got it, and that she felt inadequate to support you in a way that would make a difference for you.
And that I think is, again, it's wonderful that surfaced in Michelle, and it also reflects on a very deep level something inside me that shows another level of resistance that I'm willing to embrace. Because my take on that is she happens to be in my field and is a part of the experience, so I'll take ownership for my co-creation in that experience. And then, Michelle, you can look at your part and open that up with your heart and heal it and realize you are not only competent, you are amazing. You are wonderful at supporting people. And I'm good at it too, and that's good. Yet sometimes it's helpful to have someone like yourself just reach out and trust yourself. And then I'll just continue to unravel more of my own resistance to true healing and the depths that I'm opening up.
Oh, awesome input, both of you. And I think that, one, Michelle, some worksheets on inadequacy obviously are going to be in order for you. And also, I think this is just a fabulous conversation for everybody. You know, whatever stage people are at in doing this work, you know, Rex has been doing the work for almost 30 years. Michelle's been involved, I don't know, are you in your third year now, Michelle? And, you know, here we are. We're just processing what we each need to process. And, you know, it's awesome when you recognize that with a little help from our friends, we can all move through whatever we need to move through.
And again, that resonates my gratitude, Michael, that we have a community that, you know, Michelle and I feel so confident in our relationship and the love of truth that we're willing to, you know, just share it and share it in such a way that's vulnerable and open and willing. And I think it's a wonderful reflection not only of our own growth individually and as a community, but it also shows that we're all, you know, capable and willing to go through what we need to. And no matter who we are, everybody's going to have things come up at some point in time where they feel resistant to looking at it. And it's okay because, you know, just stay with it and it'll open up and you'll get another opportunity. I find that if I take advantage of the one that's coming up, it's better. But you'll get another opportunity no matter what. So, you know, it's awesome.
Are you saying that I've been resistant to looking at things that are ready to come up? Rex, how dare you say that?
That's your content. I didn't say you, Michael. I was talking about Jeannie, not you. For heaven's sake, that's sarcasm. Of course, I was talking about all of us. Yes, definitely.
Of course.
And yes, and it's so true, and it's we really are an equal playing field. Everybody has issues. Everybody has opportunities to grow and learn and heal. And I love the idea of true humility of seeing the highest and best in another and joining with their highest and best, you know, inspiration from love. And that's it. And I think that's what we do as a community, and I love it. I apologize. I'm going to have to go because my time is running short and I have an appointment, and so I'm going to need to leave now. But God bless everybody, and thank you so much, Michelle, and thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, thanks, Rick. So we're down to about 3 or 4 minutes. So.
Michael.
Yes, sweetie.
Michelle said that it had only been a year and a half, and I laughed and said, well, it just seems like 3 years worth of intensives, right? But she
seems
said
like
that
it.
Last night was perfect. It was one of those groups where everybody thinks that there's nothing happening, but everything was happening. And so it was fabulous. Just stay with it, and that's the key. And when you don't want to do the work, obviously, that's when you benefit the most from doing the work. She says, I have a word link for that one, and it's being integrated more and more. So thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Rex, and everybody. And we are down to about 2.5 minutes. And, Sunny, I'm going to turn you back on. I'm not sure if you had a comment back to what was being said to you.
Yes. And I'll get with Rex, but I'd like to thank him for his support in that. And Michelle, that's a huge compliment. And without Rex on the line, to still further commit to my gratitude here, what he said about that collective genetic work is really what I'm on top of. So I will probably be calling in more as I'm getting through this process because it is that big piece, I really do believe, at this point. And but to further compliment the conclusion of our conversation today, I did not even know Rex. I had never met them except through the radio show. And in Journey's passing, for you, Michelle, to feel inadequate or awkward or anything like that, I came to terms with many of those same worksheet processes, and I just felt very, not obligated, committed, I don't know what the word would be, but I was driven to be very much a part of that with Rex and Misty, and I did not feel awkward. I was very welcomed into the family at what would normally be deemed a very private family time. That love was there for our family bond and our commitment to support Rex more so and ever since then. There have been many events I have missed, but I was in...
Sunny?
Yes.
I apologize for cutting you short, but we're less than 60 seconds, and so we definitely need to close out the show. So we just want to thank everybody for joining us and for being part with us, and bring somebody with you again tomorrow. And have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.